Lord, may we honor Michael as we remember him. I ask that we would glorify you, Lord. Give us peace as we recount some memories and talk about Michael. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Kendra is going to share a poem with us. So she's going to come up.
This is called The Last Journey by Timothy Coote. Many of you know Mike loved trains. There's a train at the station with a seat reserved just for me. I'm excited about its destination as I've seen it sets you free. The trials and tribulations, the pain and stress we breathe, don't exist where I'm going, only happiness, I believe. I hope that you will be there to wish me on my way. It's not a journey you can join in on. It's not your time today. There will be many destinations. Some are happy, some are sad. Each one a brief reminder of the great times we've had. Many friends I know are waiting who took an earlier train to greet and reassure me that nothing has really changed. We'll take the time together to catch up on the past, to build a new beginning, one that will always last. One day you'll take your journey on the train, just like me, and I promise that I'll be there at the station, and you will see that life is just a journey, enriched by those you meet. No one can take that from you. It's always yours to keep. But now, as no seat is vacant, you will have to muddle through. Make sure you fulfill your ambitions, as you know I'll be watching you. And if there's an occasion to mention who you knew, speak kindly of that person, as one day it will be you. Now I can't accept this ending, and as it's time for me to leave, please make haste to the reception to enjoy my drinks. They're free.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. You're all like family to me. My dad, Michael Garland Coder, passed away November 4th, 2025. He was born in Lincoln, Nebraska in 1948 to Robert and Mary. He grew up as the son of a railroad worker, attending church and youth group. He attended the University of California at Davis for his undergraduate, and then he attended McGeorge Law School. During his youth, Michael met my mom, Carol. In his last month, he said his greatest accomplishments were his sons, David, Brian, and Brett. From his dad's work on the railroad, Dad was very interested in trains, which you see and gather from a lot of the stuff here. We'd often go, every time the Coast Daylight would go by through Davis, we would always run out to the tracks and watch it go thundering past and make huge quarters and such. Allegedly, don't put things on the tracks. And so while we went to the Railroad Museum in Sacramento as kids, as you saw there, he passed on that legacy and love of trains to grandkids, and we got to go there together. He was a connoisseur of knowledge and trivia, and we enjoyed that around the dinner table when he would join us for special meals, and we celebrated a number of birthdays with him here. He had a playful sense of humor, as you saw from that smoochy face look. He was told to act like you guys love each other, and well, that's what he did. And so he had a playful sense of humor that seemed endless, and a very sentimental side, because he saved basically every card that anybody ever sent him, including the welcome home grandpa that my boys made him. It's back there. He was an active soccer referee. He had a cute nickname, I guess, among his referee buds as Old Ugly Fat Guy. Not a very flattering name, but it brought him great joy and laughter for whatever reason. If that helps you peer under the hood a little bit. He was a referee trainer, so maybe some of you fellow referees who are tuning in from the Davis and Sacramento area might recall that. He was passionate about trains, clocks, UC Davis sports, as you saw him wearing the blue and gold stripes on many pictures there. And he loved a good joke. He loved his family. And he just enjoyed spending time with us around the table. Time around the table was very important to him. As I consider the years we had to care for him after he moved to Tucson, and now with his loss, it makes me think of two foundational things: how we look to and treat God, and how we love one another. As I've heard it said, no hearse has a luggage rack. We can't take any of our stuff in this life with us when it's our turn to get off the train. Dad didn't leave a lot of earthly possessions, but he left a ton of memories, lessons, and good times. We will all truly miss his earthly presence, but we'll cherish the images in our minds and hearts of time spent with him. I'll open it up if anybody else would like to say anything.
So I never met Michael. Call him Mike or Michael?
Depends
Mike?
How much trouble
I never met either, Mike or Michael. Yes. Hmm. But I am honored to be here, and David and Kendra, as your friends, honored to be here in particular. So, no matter the number of years that you live, this life is too short. You know, death of anyone, especially someone that you love, is a serious reminder of its brevity. It has the ability to create pause as we think about our own lives, how frail we are. Hopefully, though, Michael's life and even death on this earth will help each of us focus on what's to come. That's eternity. You know, I talking with David about his dad in those final days, why Michael was at their home, David mentioned that they talked to him about the gospel on and off, and that Michael was more receptive to the gospel in this the last days that he was alive with them. And one of the stories that about Jesus that David and Kendra read to Michael from the Bible is found in Luke, recorded by one of Jesus' disciples, Luke. And if you're familiar with the story of Jesus, Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross next to two criminals who were being punished for their crimes. And it's recorded in Luke 23. It says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed against Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And Jesus said to him, he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, perhaps hearing about Jesus at a memorial service is, or you might assume it's a message of judgment or of guilt, and you'd rather skip hearing about the Bible and about Christ. But please consider this. Faith in God and his Son, Jesus Christ, allows us to feel relieved in the face of death and not overwhelmed by it. One of Jesus' disciples recorded Jesus saying, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And faith in Jesus changes you forever. And it's a good change. Revelation 21 describes two future paths when people die. I just want to read that real quick. Two options for us when we die and leave this world. John recorded it, and he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for those former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Revelation describes two future distinct paths, one for the immoral, those who are unrepentant and unforgiven of sin, and their place is in a place of fire and sulfur, and one where Christ has made all things new, where God himself takes residence with his creation, with human beings, a place where those who live with God have no more tears or death or mourning or crying, because in that place those things cease to exist, a place called heaven. And in the Bible, heaven is described as a beautiful place without the curse and pain of sin, where the Lamb of God, Jesus, completely wipes away suffering. And in heaven, believers are given new heavenly bodies. And because of this future in heaven, we can be here now as we remember Michael with expectant hearts. Because of Jesus, God's only Son, because he was killed 2,000 years ago and shed his blood, and because he then rose from the dead 3 days later, we have a way to be forgiven of our own sin by believing in Jesus Christ. And because of the gift of salvation, you and I can have hope in the future. John 11:25 recorded Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies." In the ancient city of Thessalonica, archaeologists have found an inscription that says, "After death, no reviving. After the grave, no meeting again." And the Greek poet Theocritus, he wrote, "Hopes are among the living, the dead are without hope." And that was the belief of much of the ancient world. It's the belief of many in our world today. It's doleful, it's despairing. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in that same city, Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 4, and he is assuring them about a similar experience, the audience there, the church there, about death. But not just death of anyone, but those who are believers in Jesus, those who know Christ as their Savior. And he has a different message. It's one of hope. I'd like to read that real quick to you. Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep," that's those who have died, "that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that those who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So Paul says, encourage one another with his words because they give us hope. And unlike a life without Christ, a Christian has something to look forward to in the future. And one of the things is an anticipation of a reunion. When the Lord returns, believers who are alive are going to be reunited with Christian loved ones who have passed away. And death can leave people feeling empty and afraid here on earth. But Christians can still be joyful at a service like this because earthly death is not permanent. It's not the end of the story. And I can't tell you one way or not if Michael believed in his heart that Jesus is who he claims to be in the Bible. But just as the criminal on the cross who believed in Jesus, the same man that Jesus promised that he would be with him in heaven, salvation does not depend on any work that we do, but on accepting a gift of the forgiveness of sin, which is faith in Jesus. And this is the hope we have in Christ, that those who believe in him have eternity to live and much to look forward to in heaven. You pray with me. Lord, you tell us in your letter to the church in Thessalonica to always rejoice, to constantly pray, and everything to give thanks. And we thank you so much for Michael. We thank you for his life, for him as a friend and father, a grandfather, so much more. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you that Michael has positive memories to leave with his family as a legacy. I ask for special peace for everyone here and everyone that's listening over the stream. Grant peace for all of us. May the memories of Michael help us focus more clearly on loving one another and on obeying you and on heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Break. And now we're going to have some refreshments right over here, so you're all welcome to stay and fellowship for a while and maybe look at some train things in the back, but go in peace. Thank you.